and welcome to another episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. I am Triforce Todd, and joining me today is Wario Will.
We are the champions. We are the champions. No time for losing, 'cause we are the champions of the world.
The timeline has been corrected. Balance has been restored. The king of sauces is finally in its rightful place. That's right, we finally won, my fellow brethren ketchup lovers. We did it. We did it. We did it, Mr. Stark. Evil has been perished.
Yeah, see, what you should have done was you should have stopped it like right before they said of the world and go, oh, Splatoon. Oh, well, missed opportunity. But yes, yeah, so we'll be talking about that a little bit later in the show. And what we do, we will be roasting, of course, Tellius Tyler.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Will can roast me. He earned it. But you know, you're a turncoat. You're a Benedict Arnold.
Oh, here we go.
You have no right.
I have every right.
You have.
I was on the winning team.
No,
I can prove it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, were you really though?
Yeah.
Were you? I mean, you're a flip flopper.
Nope. I had one opinion one day. I had another opinion. In fact, Tyler, if you want to blame anybody, blame yourself. I was technically still on the fence, and then you're like, you can't go from mayonnaise to ketchup, and you're like, you're being all snooty and Tom Brady about it, and I'm just like, you know what, screw you, Tom Brady. I'm going to go Eli, and once again, Eli beats Brady in the big game.
Listen,
you're welcome.
All I'm saying is it wasn't my fault. It wasn't my friend's fault. we played a lot of Splatoon this weekend, and it was very fun. Splatfest are great. I'm so sad that they keep saying one-off. Like, they're really letting us know this was a one-off. We're not doing another one.
Yeah, that was sad. All right, well, before we keep going, let's get right into what we're going to be doing today, because we got a lot to talk about. So let's get all started off with, what have you been playing? We've been playing Splatoon. We played Splatfest. We won Q Queen! Kidding! Don't do it. I'm kidding. Don't do it. I'll get this party started. I did indeed play the Splatfest. The irony was that my Friday night was rather busy because of a show I do on Friday evenings, which goes right into my dinner and then relaxing with shows. So by the time it was about midnight, I think I remembered that there was a Splatfest. I'm like, oh crap, there was Splatfest today. So I felt kind of bad, and then ironically on Saturday, I was with family, so I'm just like, am I ever going to get to play Splatoon? And so thankfully I got home at like a decent time, and then I was able to play a little bit of it. Then I had to watch a pay-per-view for wrestling, and then I played a little bit more. And on Sunday I did as much Splatooning as I could, and I got to the champion rank, so I was happy about that. It was funny how like the first like minute of it, I was like, wait a minute, how do I play this game again? Because it's been so long.
Right,
since at least the last time I played with Kromcho. Shout out to Kromcho. And it's just been a while, so I was like, wait, where was the camera button? But then like once I got into the first match and I really started flowing, it's just like, oh yeah, I remember this. You know, spotting everything that's possible, you know, trying not to die. And I remember so much of the frustrations of, you know I killed you and yet you're still alive. And then, like, that roller. I hate the roller.
Oh, my gosh.
One hit KO. It's just like, wham!
My buddy uses a roller and he always yells, get off the tracks! when he runs people over.
Trains are coming! So, but yeah, it was fun. I enjoyed it a lot. Go Team Ketchup. And the levels, it was fun remembering all the strategies for like Moray Towers and a Walleye Mart and all of them. So that was good stuff. And then of course I have been playing Silver Snow, Fire Emblem Three Houses. I just got the Sword of the Creator, which proves that I'm totally not going to be done by the time Xenoblade comes out tomorrow. But it's fine. I'm at a good stopping point more or less. My team is kind of hilarious because. Since I know I'm about to lose Edelgard and Hubert because of the storyline, I'm like not using them at all.
Yeah.
Auxiliary missions, the main missions. If I have to keep like Edelgard in the main mission, I'll use her as like weakening the opponent so my other crew can get the experience. And it's actually pretty good. I've got an interesting balance because I've got my four Ashen Wolves in the game. And then I've got, I'm training Petra up pretty good because she's really kicking butt. And then I brought Anna in, just for the heck of it, because I could recruit her. So there's that. And so I've got like four swordsmen. I got four magic users, and then I'm still gonna recruit like Phoenix, Manuela, Ingrid, and like just totally stack the deck because I want this to be my all-star team. And it's just funny how my gameplay style just differs. And then of course because of the DLC content, I'm getting all these different things like brand new items. I'm getting the new auxiliary missions with like double the experience and the money. So like my characters are way higher than they should be right now because I was just, you know, training them incessantly just to make sure that they were ready. And it's a good feeling. It's a good feeling.
Yeah, the DLC really gets rid of your... The money was never an issue in Three Houses anyway.
Right. Not
and
really.
Then the DLC missions are like, you'll just, you never come close to running out.
Yeah. And then the experience you get if you play it right is just really, really good. So it's good stuff and I'm enjoying it, but I will be stopping. Because either Friday or Saturday, I will be getting Xenoblade Chronicles Definitive Edition. The reviews are out. It's a really good port. DLC is pretty good, or the extended content's pretty good too, so that's what I'm looking forward to, and I will hopefully have my first impressions, because I will be the one reviewing it for the website, and yeah, we'll see how it is by next week.
Ayo, nice. Well, I guess I'll go next, and this past week, for me, I actually finished up playing Persona 5 Royal, platinum the game as well, and gotta say, it is very deep, and I mean, Persona's always been very deep in the beginning, but yeah, Persona 5 Royal just really expanded upon that, and yeah, I think I can finally understand about the meaning of good intentions. Like, there's an old saying, like, forcing good intentions onto other people is no different than evil ones. That's pretty much like one of the main lessons of that, of like the final moment of the game, which it's just so profound, and just at the ending, just really good to play back Persona 5 again and just get the expanded content from Royal. So yeah, Persona 5 Royal, highly recommend it. And come on, Sony or Atlas, bring over the Switch already. Okay, I digress.
No, don't digress. Keep pushing, Will. Keep pushing. We need Persona 5 on Switch.
And of course, naturally with Splatfest, it's pretty much as you said, Todd. Like, I was trying to like refamiliarize myself with the controls of like this. How do I shoot and all that? But yeah, then it just like warmed back to me. And of course, I still stuck with my Slapshot Jr., even though it is so inaccurate. I had to be up close just to get him. But like one of the best matches I got was like 15 kills in one match. And I'm not going to lie to you, Tyler. I was having a bad day during I think Saturday I played. And yeah, I was like losing my pro matches. I was kind of going on a losing streak, but somehow I managed to go roar out back, which I'm so surprised by that stat. Like literally a point. Something percent,
yeah.
They're just like, holy moly, that was amazing. I mean, compared to that, like a 77% popularity rating, and now just kind of evened out a little bit. I just can't believe how much of a difference just like 3 years since then makes. So it was pretty amazing. So yeah, Splatoon 2, great. I mean, Nagami or anybody at Nintendo, please bring back Splatfest, or at least like one more offshoot, because these things are always very fun. Just like rally and all. And of course, naturally for me, you've been playing Fire Emblem Heroes, which, gotta say, that new mana showed up. Who would have thought? Yeah. What was
Mila.
Her name again?
Mila,
thank you. Mila's turn. Right.
Mila. Mila's blessing.
Right. Okay, Mila.
No,
yeah,
it's Mila. It's Mila, but that's okay.
Yeah,
Mila, tomato, tomato. Tomato.
Yeah. I'm right about this one, but you know, it's all right.
Mila's turn wheel, yeah, like the sister of Duma, and okay, and like her skills, okay, they gotta bring in another Aetherate unique skill with Mia's turn wheel, which, okay, bring Duma and Mia onto your Aetherate, and you pretty much get a very solid team, so I'm probably gonna pull for her when she comes out soon, so. Yeah, just been grinding out my orbs on Fire Emblem Heroes and playing a lot of Overwatch, continuing with events, nothing new on that side. So overall, pretty eventful on most games. And of course, getting ready for the Ninjala event. That's another second round online beta testing this coming Sunday. And also, depending on your region as well. So yeah, I'm getting ready for Ninjala's again this coming Sunday.
Going back to Heroes really quick, did you guys notice that they like did a Forging Bonds revival?
Yes.
And it's so weird though, because the only reward is those data packs or whatever, and I've never even known what the heck to do with those.
The codex. Yeah, basically, it's just to, like, if you want to create more skill books of the certain heroes, like, if you don't have a hero, don't want to go and sacrifice, you could just use the codex to make the spell books of skills to skill inheritance, basically.
Yeah, there's like trees. It's unnecessarily complicated, as all things are in Fire Emblem Heroes, but
pretty much.
They are useful if you're trying to, like, you know, buff up your characters to take on arena or whatever.
Right.
Okay, it's just like, because I keep getting, like, these codes, and it's like, I don't even know what to do with these things. And then, like, I like the forging bonds, because usually it's about, you know, getting orbs, but no, it's like, nope, no orbs this time. Coder right, bust.
Right, and also just, like, another opportunity to gain any accessories you didn't get the first time around. So, yeah, there's that, yeah.
I have also been playing Splatoon, of course, and Will, it's funny that you said you were on a losing streak, because me and my crew, I guess the extended NEP family, I was playing with Captain Toad Taylor, Andross Alex, and DK DJ on Saturday night for, I think we played 5-6 hours. It was a lot, but Andross Alex had just bought the game, and Captain Toad Taylor similarly bought it like 2 weeks ago, so I was our best player, and I am not very good at Splatoon. I mean, I'm not terrible, but I would never consider myself good. So we weren't playing pro, we were playing the normal matches, and there were growing pains. You know, Andross had to get his feet, you know, get his feet under him, but he learned pretty quickly. He was kind of jumping between weapons, and I think he ended up settling on the dualies. So we had me using the dually squelchers, Captain Toad Taylor using the regular dualies, and Andross Alex using regular dualies, and DK DJ used the air spray. I forget the note, okay. But so he was our turf cover. I was our assassin, and those two were kind of jacks of all trades. And we did start to build up as we went. By hour four of playing, we started to win. But the funny thing was, we definitely lost more matches than we won, but we never lost a times 10 battle. And we had two times in times 10 battles, just these epic comebacks. One match, we were in danger with like 30 seconds. We wiped their whole team. Just an awesome comeback. We were so excited. The Splatfests are just the best. But the reason... the event is cool, don't get me wrong, but like mayo versus ketchup, it's not a thrilling topic. So they've done more exciting ones in the past. But you really joy, I think, is playing with your friends, and the teams do help. Being on like Team Mayo, even though it's not a great rallying flag, does add a dynamic to it. But it just makes me wish that you could just play the regular turf war with your friends. I don't know why that's not in the game, and it's so frustrating, especially now that, like, I don't know, maybe I could see how Splatfests feel more special when you get to play with your friends. Mm-mm. Now that their Splatfests are done, like, I just wish they were in the game. Yeah, and I really like that Shifty Station. Sorry, go ahead, Will.
Yeah, like that Shifty Station. Like, I mean, now they allow players to play on the Shifty Stations, but that's only in private battles, sadly enough. And yeah, just like as an extra detail, I just can't believe that Heinz Tomato Ketchup actually officially endorsed the Team Ketchup. I mean, what happened to your official endorsement, Tyler, to Team Mayo? Where's Hellman's endorsement? I wonder.
But you wonder why we lost. We did not have the support of the corporate sponsors. Ridiculous. I really liked Station too. That was pretty cool. It was a sad loss, but at the same time, it was a ton of fun, and I'm so glad that they brought it back. And that's pretty much it. I've cooled off on Fire Emblem Heroes because I got frustrated. I got a female Morgan pity breaker. I was at like 5% trying to get Dark Ike, and I didn't get him, and now I'm angry and salty. So.
I gotta buy a spark system on top.
Enjoy them. Yeah, have fun. You know, I'm not gonna have fun. I'm not gonna. But yeah, and of course, I've continued to play Streets of Rage. I'm really interested in Bug Fables. That might have been in an indie showcase. I saw the game somewhere before, and I was like, this is such a Paper Mario ripoff, but there's no way it's good. Everybody's saying it's really, really good, so I'm excited for it. I'm gonna have to check that out.
Yeah. So, and again, next week is going to be interesting because, you know, I'm getting Xenoblade, Will's getting Xenoblade, and Tyler, are you getting it?
I know you're I'm getting it. I am getting Xenoblade. It's difficult. It's like, you know, I'm nervous. I'm going in.
I'm going in
a bit jaded.
I know you're nervous because you're worried if it's going to be even better than your most beloved game of Xenoblade.
Yeah, exactly. I can. What if it knocks it off?
So, but yeah, it's. I'm curious to see what we all think about it when we get to that point next week. But that is next week, and we got plenty to talk about from this week. So it's time to go down the warp pipe. And the announcements, gentlemen, they continue to come of games that we are hoping to play later this year. Because finally, we are getting a release date for Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles Remastered Edition. I almost called it Definitive Edition in the article I wrote because I'm like, that's a thing. But no, it's Remastered Edition. And if you recall, this game was announced all the way back in 2018. Yeah, it's been a while. And then it was supposed to come out in 2019, then it got delayed, and then yada yada yada. And now we know from Nintendo and Square Enix it is going to come out August 27th. And a brand new trailer has released to show you what you can expect from Crystal Chronicles. Now, I've never played this. Will you have? You still have it for your GameCube even?
I have it for the original GameCube, and this was like before I had like multiple Game Boy Advances, and I was basically playing for myself. I was hoping to play a multiplayer with my brother back in the day, but I didn't know you have to play via Game Boy Advance, which no way we could afford Game Boy Advances back then, so I was like playing by myself. But yeah, Crystal Chronicles is definitely an interesting entry in the series, and I don't know how to explain it. It's like, it is like back then how they capitalized the whole local multiplayer thing, but it was just the fact that you had multiple Game Boy Advances is what really like bogged it down a little bit. So for the fact that they brought it back as a re-release with online play and English dubbing as well, which is pretty impressive. So I'm kind of curious, maybe I will pick this up again. And because ironically enough, I got the last elements for the crystal. I was going to the final to the final location, but I never actually got around to actually finish up the game back then. So perhaps it's probably a good excuse to do it now.
I think. So I remember doing that with certain games, but I like with Link's Awakening is the one that comes to mind. I got all the way to the 8th dungeon, Turtle Rock, but I could never figure out how to beat it. And then when the Switch version came out, I made sure, whether by hook, by crook, or by guide, that I figured out how to make it work. So. Yeah, I remember when this came out on GameCube and everything, so I might be checking it out depending on what's coming out in August, if Nintendo's going to drop anything big. And of course, we still are expecting Bravely Default 2, so this could be like two very big releases for the Switch. Even though, yes, to be clear, Crystal Chronicles is also coming out on PS4, Android, and iOS.
Yep.
Oh, but what about us Xbox users? Poor souls.
What about you, yeah, Todd? I agree with you though, Todd. For me, the question is what the release schedule looks like, because I could see myself picking this up if I don't have anything else. At the same time, I'm not totally sure that I will. It's intriguing for sure. It's nice to have another game in the lineup.
And everyone's like, this might turn out to be like the year of the RPG in certain ways, because you know, Animal Crossing gets its own kind of RPG if you really think about it. We had the FE Tokyo Mirage Sessions, FE Sharp Encore, blah 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 earlier. Then we have Pokemon coming out with its two DLC packs. Paper Mario is still technically an RPG, and now we got Crystal Chronicles. We've got Xenoblade about to come out. We got Bravely Default. Who knows what else is coming out? It's pretty stacked. Oh yeah, Persona. You know that's not a Switch, but still, it should be on Switch.
Ironically enough, we still haven't heard any information if there's going to be coming a West release for Persona 5 Scramble, which is going to be an interesting.
Who cares? It's not the same. It's not. That's not my Persona. Hashtag not my Persona. Oh, and as if that's not enough, we might be getting news on a beloved RPG franchise that's been begging for a true sequel for over a decade now. The World Ends With You. So you might have seen this trending on Twitter the other day, but you don't exactly know why. Well, here's the breakdown. Okay. Anime Expo was supposed to be happening this July, but obviously because of the global lockdown, it was generally canceled. However, they revived it via Anime Expo Lite. It's going to be virtual. You know, it's going to be doing live stream events of certain things on July 3rd and 4th. So that's all well and good. But then they decided, hey, let's show off some 2020 key art collaborations. And lo and behold, it's The World Ends With You crew.
Mm-hmm.
So why is that there? And some people go, wait a minute, it's just collaboration art, not unlike how DC or Marvel does, you know, certain art for program guides. Yeah, I could buy that, except The World Ends With You is a very, very specific piece of art to, or game to pick from. Not to mention, the game was never an anime. I mean, it was anime style. It was published by Square Enix and made by Jupiter, but it's not a true anime. So, why is it there?
It's definitely a good thing to for fans to get excited about. Like, okay, they shot off. This is like, wait, is this new art? Artwork? New concept art? Oh, what is this? What is it? What is it?
And well, it's like, not everybody's concept art. You could tell it's not concept art because it's just the crew and then the two characters in the back are the official representations of the Anime Expo. So we know that at least.
But like again, and people are just wondering, what could this mean? What could this mean? Are we gonna finally hear something about this game? Or like, is there something? Is are Enix teasing us again? I don't know. It's definitely like rousing the attention of fans everywhere.
Because if you recall, The World Ends With You, Final Remix or whatever came out on the Switch a while ago. I reviewed it. Still a great game, and the team said that this was basically their last chance to try and get The World Ends With You 2. The World Ends With You 2. It just came to me. Online, and now we're having this. Now, of course, the obvious answer is, well, wait a minute, could they just be making a World Ends With You anime? Yeah, I could see that. You never know. It's definitely anime worthy, so it's possible, but for most people who are fans of this beloved game, cult classic, if you will, we definitely want a sequel title. We demand a sequel title, especially after what they teased us with Final Remix, so... Yeah, just give it to us already, Square Enix. What the heck? Oh, to dream. Dream. Alright, moving on to Tyler's favorite story of the week.
Yes.
Take it away, Tyler. Indeed. I'll let you have it.
Well, the Sonic the Hedgehog movie is getting a sequel, officially. We don't know a whole lot about it outside of it's being brought to you by the same team, and we assume Tails is going to be in it. Personally, I hope they just name it Sonic the Hedgehog 2. I don't want any other wacky subtitle. I want Sonic the Hedgehog 2. I want it to be about Sonic and Tails doing their thing. But this, my friends, is the danger. I am like excited about this. I'm not even optimistic. I'm confident that it's going to be good. There's nothing that could possibly go wrong, just saying that, now the nerves are creeping back. We have to, as Sonic fans, we have to just be prepared for the worst, and yet they've proven that they can do it, so I am thrilled about it. Very excited, no idea when it's coming out, but they have confirmed that they are at least working on it.
Just a reminder as well, like, it was because of fanboys everywhere, including like yourself, Tyler, that actually got the design changed back from its original design. So if they make a mistake again, we fanboys know what to do. Make a noise on the internet. That seems to work.
Bullying.
Yep. Release.
Time to go back to bullying.
Yep. Release the Sonic cut. I mean, Snyder cut. I'm just saying. Yeah. And Tyler. You, of all people, should know the dangers of saying there's nothing that could possibly go wrong. And I'm not even talking about Sonic movie. I'm talking Sonic game. All right? Because Sonic Team, over the last however long, have had a habit of making one good Sonic game and then making a crappy one. All right? And the last really good one, if you ever recall, was Sonic Mania, which was a fan game. And then Sonic Forces came out, and we don't talk about that anymore now, do we?
I love listening to Sega try to take more credit than they deserve for Sonic Mania. I read an interview the other day where they're like, it was so great to have the help of a developer, and it was really great. Like, he like made the game, like, help. I mean, you guys were the at least from my understanding, the sidekicks in that.
Yeah, they were. They totally were. So,
but I don't know. Did you see? We didn't put this in, but we should have. They did say that Sonic their time between releases now to boost the quality of the games. We'll get a game next year for the anniversary, for sure, 30th anniversary. That'll be interesting, to say the least. They've been teasing us that they have news to share, but it's not quite ready yet, and we'll see something about that soon.
Yeah, well, I'll believe that when I see it. But you see, there is a bigger question here, Tyler. And the question is that when they officially do like the first trailer, like, let's just be generous and say next year, okay? So the first trailer for Sonic 2, whatever or whatever, comes out, will it feature Gangster's Paradise again?
Listen, the Gangster's Paradise was the only positive part of that whole trailer, in my opinion. That was funny. That was funny.
That was like totally freaking random. First of all, Sonic ain't gangsta. All right.
I got an idea, because like, since they gotta do the whole 90s shtick again, like, I have a feeling. How about just put in Smash Mouth? Somebody told me
the world was gone. There you go. Hey now, you're an all-star. Get the ring. Get the name on it.
Exactly.
Oh, they hit the nail on the head with the soundtrack for this one. I think they're gonna get it right again. I like it was cool, but it was cheesy enough, but it was cool.
Don't you mean it was
very
cool?
Sonic.
Don't you mean it was Coolio?
yeah, I kind of do.
Oh, gosh. Seriously, Gangster's Paradise? What were they thinking? I mean, was it like the cheapest song for the 90s that they could afford? And they're just like, why don't we just go fully broke on this? You know, there you go. That was their thought, because they knew that their sonic design sucked. So we got to make this trailer as cringy as possible. So we're going to use the old Sonic model, we're going to throw in Coolio, and then we're just going to leave it out there. And what happens? We never heard Gangster's Paradise again.
Yeah, that, you know what? You're probably right. It probably was just because it was the easiest song to get the rights to.
Okay, you know what? Let's go bold here. What if instead of Gangster's Paradise for the first trailer, they go Weird Al Yankovic and give us Amish Paradise? Yes!
That would be cool. That would be, and you know what? That would be kind of Sonic. That would be funny. Tongue in cheek, I'd appreciate that.
Yeah, there we go. and then they can bring in Weird Al to voice one of the Sonic characters. You know, obviously not Tails, because Tails needs to sound smart. But I could see him being Knuckles, you know? High-pitched Knuckles, maybe? He did do Darkseid. Never forget. He did Darkseid once. Alright? So he clearly got range. Okay. No, seriously, look it up. He did Darkseid once. It was hilarious. One of the few things that happened that was right with Teen Titans Go. Moving on! Right, so, talking again about Xenoblade Chronicles Definitive Edition, which, again, is coming out tomorrow. In an interview with Famitsu, Monolith Soft answered the question of why we're getting Future Connected, especially after all these years. And the answer, according to Tetsuya Takahashi, was the following. Quote, it's because we felt bad for Melia. I'm only half joking when I say that. With Future Connected, we're able to draw in those who've already played Xenoblade Chronicles. Moreover, there's details there that connect to the future of Xenoblade. So we created it for 2.5 reasons. Another rationale being, we had an unused map from the main game, the Bionis Shoulder, which was appropriate for the setting. So, like, the key, end quote. So, the key word I want to focus on here is details there that connect to the future of Xenoblade. That's a very curious line, because as we discussed all in the podcast before, Chronicles X and 2 are three entirely different games on three entirely different settings, at least so we believe. I would dare to say X is absolutely different, but technically with original and 2, you could make the argument that they're similar because of the, you know, Titans and all that. But the future of Xenoblade, could that mean that the next sequel is going to be a Shulk direct sequel?
Go on. Yeah, my prediction regarding to that is, I feel like I feel like they're probably going to go maybe MCU with this. Like, perhaps, like, oh, these are three different things, but in fact, they actually are connected in some way or another. And we're not just talking cameos of accessories of whatsoever. I don't know. Perhaps the Bionis and Mechanis is, like, I don't know, a little bit few light years away from the world of the Titans of Xenoblade Chronicles 2. Or, I don't know, perhaps the planet of Xenoblade Chronicles X is somewhere out there. Like, I feel like they gotta probably go MCU with this, maybe. But in regards to probably the future of it, I don't know. Maybe I could be absolutely wrong. Maybe just go with the whole influence of the Xenogears series. Again, they always do with the whole Xeno series. So that's my guess.
Yeah, you know, I'm not really sure. I don't have a good enough grasp on Xenoblade to speculate necessarily, but it's definitely
a curious thing, because goodness, he just says the way it said, you know, the details about the future of Xenoblade. He didn't even say Xenoblade Chronicles, he just said Xenoblade. So I don't know, I think they could technically bring back Shulk for a direct sequel, especially if the game sells well, which I think it will. But we also know that they're working on that new game, whatever it is. So I don't know. There's a lot of ways you can take that. I definitely don't think it's a reference to like a sequel to X, even though I really want that sequel because we deserve the answers that you refuse to give us. But and then Xenoblade Chronicles 2, as all of us have completed the game. There's a Tyler.
No, that game was unfinishable. It was that bad. I couldn't
really, because I'm pretty sure I showed a screenshot in the end of my review, which some people called out because they're like, "That's spoilers. How is it spoilers if you've been to the end of the game?" So yeah, what are you doing? Trying to do some timey-wimey magic on me? I am the doctor. Listen. So I don't know. It's just that's very curious line to say. You know. And
yeah.
Go ahead.
When we play it. Maybe that'll become more clear. You know, maybe it'll make more sense upon.
I mean, it does beg the question of why it's called Future Connected, because I always thought that was a curious title. If it's really
right, I assumed it meant two. That's how I originally read it, but it doesn't seem like that's the case at all.
We will just have to find out, I suppose. Mm-hmm. All right, next up we have new images of Super Nintendo World, which I apparently am seeing it. The images were taken down, but let's just improvise this and just say that there were pictures of they took down the pictures, darn it. It's like, I guess they don't want the secrets being spoiled. But there were new pictures of it, and apparently they were unofficial ones, but it is showing that the Universal Studios Japan Super Nintendo World theme park is nearing completion. And it's curious, because obviously Nintendo is going big on this. They want this to be not just in Japan, but later on in the United States. Where that could lead with all sorts of things is very enticing, especially for people like me who have family near Universal Studios and would totally be able to bum a ticket off of them to go and live my inner Nintendo fanboy. And then they'd be like, "Todd, why are we here?" And I'd be like, "Because you love me, dang it!" So, just saying. But again, we can't talk about the pictures because apparently someone didn't like it that they were there. They took them down off of Instagram. Mean! But we can still speculate. Like, again, we do know, like, the focus is obviously going to be Mario. They've already confirmed, like, a Super Mario Kart ride, Yoshi's Adventures. It's going to be interactive. You're going to have, like, your own personal, like, game computer, a wristband that'll, you know, keep track of points and all of that. You'll have rides. You'll have games. You'll have interfaces with game consoles. They're going full tilt on this, which I really appreciate. And go ahead.
The pictures looked really cool. They were up. There's again, it's all Mushroom Kingdom. It's important to not get your expectations that there's going to be Zelda's castle.
Well, not yet. They said that they're starting with Mario and they're working their way out.
Right, so. But for the foreseeable future, it's going to be Mario stuff. But Peach's castle, great. It did look very much like you were in a Mario game. I have to say, I was impressed by just how vibrant it was. The colors really popped, and it felt very true to the games, which is what you want. It's definitely what you want.
Oh, and unfortunately, I didn't manage to go and check out the screenshots as well. But from what I've heard, the details and just the way you describe it, a lot of people kind of speculate that the theme park is shouldn't be too far off from completion, even given with the current world situation. But overall, if once this thing definitely is completed at the end, whenever it will be, then yeah, I'm definitely want to put that on my bucket list. Definitely, definitely.
I definitely want to. There's been things in my life that I want to do. Makes it all the more ironic because of the global lockdown. But I want to go to the Pokemon Center in Japan because I know it looks cool, and I gotta see Mewtwo. Glass. It's creepy, but it's cool, And I totally want to go to a Nintendo theme park. It's something I want to do. Every time I go to a Comic Con, if I can find a Nintendo booth, a Nintendo themed booth, I can find myself in my inner geek mode, and I have to resist pulling out my wallet and buying everything. I want to note my own willpower, which I've already noted since you guys are the blood sacrificers in this party, but I have been to so many Comic Cons. I've wanted to buy so many Pokemon plushies and Pokeballs and other Nintendo gear. And the only things I really have to show for it are my Master Sword and Shield. And that was on my first Comic Con where my impulse control was at zero. So I am proud of myself that I honestly don't have more Nintendo stuff because I know how to resist, unlike you two.
That's nothing to be proud of. That. Be embarrassed.
Yeah, it is. My
choice. Honestly, I'd be humiliated.
Right now, you wouldn't say that. Okay.
Well, you wish you had more Nintendo. You can never have more Nintendo stuff.
Yeah, I think it kind of got you beep-doop because due to all the amiibos I have, so
exactly.
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Will has no impulse control when it comes to those amiibos, and both of you were terrible in the early parts of Fire Emblem Heroes, where I spent all $20, maybe $40, I still can't remember. But no more than $40, and then you guys were hundreds of dollars, blood sacrifices, it was bad, and I'm
it was bad. I will go to the grave regretting the amount of money that I spent on Fire Emblem Heroes. It was too much. It definitely, I wonder where it capped, but it had to be close to 1,000. It had to be. Just saying that out loud, it makes me sick again.
I'm sick.
I wish I had that 1,000.
Dude, if I had 1,000, if I had your $1,000 that you spent on Fire Emblem Heroes, I could make a comic, man. Think about that.
So I know, it's disgusting. It really is. This game was, I don't know why I still have it on my phone. It's evil. It's an evil. It's not even fun. It's I don't even like playing it. Okay, it's not that fun.
Okay, it's not as engaging as Three Houses. Put it that way.
Of course.
So, but it's just funny. Trust me, I wanted to. There was these massive plushies of Pikachu and all the evolutions and the starter Pokemon, and I saw a place for all the Pokeballs that you can get. And I still only have the Quick Ball for whatever reason. I don't know why, but I wanted to get one that would fit my Ash cosplay more. And it's just, I don't do it because usually I'm doing Artist Alley, which is already costly enough, and I'm trying not to spend all the money that I have. And I got to do better because I'm actually in a good financial position, and I can afford to have a gosh dang plushie or two or 10. So we'll see once the con floor opens back up, hopefully in August, because I got one scheduled for there. But I totally want to go to Nintendo World when it comes, and then to see it expand, having Legend of Zelda and Pokemon's going to be there eventually. I wonder what they would do for Smash Brothers. That's the big one,
Yeah.
Yep.
Ooh, I got an idea. This is kind of cool. What if, it wouldn't be a game per se? I guess you could make it a game, but maybe a kind of VR headset kind of deal where you wear the headset and you're acting as your character, and then on a virtual wall behind you, they're showing your character and your movements as them. That'd be kind of cool.
That would be.
Mm-mm. Again, hire me, Nintendo. I'm here.
I think something with Master Hand. Go ahead, Will. Sorry.
I mean, VR technology itself, it had, I mean, while we have like stepped up and like improved since over the years, I feel like VR technology has a long way to go to like, do something like that. Like, I don't know, like, full on, like, Sword Art Online, just like be in verse and actually be the character and actually play Smash Brothers via body control.
Oh, that's true. I mean, that's certainly not in the future. Yeah, I do think if you're doing Smash Bros, you could do something with Master Hand and Final Destination, like some sort of creation thing would work pretty well. But again, that's just a very rough idea. It'd have to be fleshed out.
It would also have to depend on like how they that can only make it as interactive, but able to feed, if you will, a lot of people. You know, because they obviously don't want to have one attraction that only one person at a time could use. They would want to have, like, you know, the Mario Kart ride. You know, like, they're going to be able to do, like, you know, 10, 20 people, depending on how big the course is, you know? And, like, going around Peach's Castle, a bunch of people can do that. So it'd have to be something that could facilitate at least 4 people at a time, if not more. So they got time, which is no doubt why they're starting with Mario, because I'm pretty sure they could do, like, 1,000 ideas with Mario and Yoshi and Mario Kart before you know expanding throughout the roster. So they got time.
You know what, you could probably like do something where you give people like the giant noodles or something and put them on a stage that looks like Final Destination and have it be one of those like don't get knocked into the water things.
I like that. It's like noodles only as Fox, Final Destination.
yeah I tried to figure out how to incorporate the besides the obvious of just give them costumes. Like,
well, I mean, I think that could be something that they do, like giving them like the Captain Falcon helmet, or like giving them like the top part, like giving them part of Marth's torso, and obviously the Master Sword and Shield. You know, you can dress up slightly as your characters, and then they have like sensors around them that'll let you battle as them. That could be cool. It would also be violent, but hey, Smash Brothers. Violent.
Cartoon violence, yo.
Yeah.
I mean, you have like, look at all these characters. You got a witch, you got a demon hunter, you got a bounty hunter, you got a couple monsters, demon king, inklings. You got a lot of violence going around. So you got a lot of weird characters. So the least thing you got to be worried about is us getting violent. All right, the violence is already there. So, I mean, you're kicking people into oblivion. I mean, you're kicking them literally into the actual horizon and seeing them turn to stars. That's violent! So, oh, good times. All right, next up, small announcement. Blair Witch Switch. Say, that's 5 times fast. Yes, the Switch version of the Blair Witch game that came out last year is coming out on June 25th. So if you have not had the opportunity to play this unique horror title, you will be able to get a Switch next month. So next month is actually shaping up to be pretty interesting, and I still think there's going to be an announcement or two lying around there. All right, this next story, I'm not going to lie, it kind of weirds me out. So we all know Pokemon.
No,
Pokemon.
Wait.
Shut up.
What is that?
Shut up! You know exactly what it is. It's about 10 kids who were given Digivices, and they were sent to the digital world. I'm kidding. Digimon Forever. Pokemon started out as a game, and then it became an anime. And it's well known that the original anime was supposed to be 80 episodes and then done. All right, the writer that they hired to make the anime originally was I don't remember his name, but he was hired under a certain contract. And then when the Pokemon anime exploded, helping going along with the games to make it super popular, they decided to scrap what they were thinking of doing and decided to do a massive 10-year plan. Well, the original writer has come out of the woodwork and revealed just how crazy things got behind the scenes and how unhappy he was in terms of what the Pokemon company did. For example, when he found out about their 10-year plan, he literally got hospitalized. Oh, yeah. So, also, apparently he wanted to write certain storylines to make things a little bit darker. And then the Pokemon company kind of rewrote it. He didn't like that Misty actually saved Ash from drowning in Pokemon 2000 because he doesn't like the idea of just making scenes to make people cry, which again makes me wonder how Mewtwo and Mew turning ash to stone happened. But wait, there's more. Lugia was supposed to be male definitive, and Pokemon Company made it male female neutral, which we will later see in the anime, because the anime one in the cartoon or the TV series is clearly female, whereas the 2000 one was clearly male. Still not enough? Okay. This gets really dark, okay?
Oh.
Okay. He had a vision for where Pokemon was supposed to end. Definitively, epically, royally end. Alright? It was supposed to be after the fourth movie, which was Celebi, if you recall. He was supposed to do a movie, kid you not, where Pokemon rebelled against their masters. As we all know, Pokemon is a great game, but it's technically slave labor. All right, we are capturing wild creatures and forcing them to fight until they are knocked out or one of them, you know, is unable to compete. And that's literally slave labor. And now, of course, the anime paints it as more of, you know, friendship and not like raising a dog, but yeah, no. So the writer had an idea for a movie, and it was basically the Pokemon realize that they are slaves. All right. And they decide to unionize, for lack of a better word, and rebel against the humans. And here's where the catch comes in. Are you ready for this? Pikachu was supposed to lead the rebellion against Ash.
Right. Of course he is. He's his natural leader.
And then the climax was going to be Ash leading the humans, Pikachu leading the Pokemon, Team Rocket in the middle actually trying to play negotiator because a good Meowth can speak Pokemon. And, like, it's supposed to go into an all-out war that ends the series. That was how Pokemon was supposed to end in the anime.
I hope that they still have that draft written somewhere, because that's kind of great.
I'm sure.
I don't know. I think this is a good idea.
I'm getting a whole Civil War vibe here. I'm getting a whole Civil War vibe.
Yeah, Team Captain America. But, that's... Again, if you recall Pokemon Black and White, like, they teased this storyline, kind of, sort of, with the whole Team Plasma and the Pokemon King, you know, our Pokemon slaves. But they, like, only touched on it lightly until it became a mega maniacal plot. Whereas this was supposed to be the literal end of the series. Pokemon and humans at war. They can't live with each other anymore. And the writer and then obviously the Pokemon Company were like, we can't do this because you can't go back from it. And he acknowledged that. He really did. He's like, I understand why they didn't do it, because, you know, you can't go back from that, especially with Ash. And, like, seriously, like, look up the various interview segments that this guy has done over the last week or so. It's going to paint your picture of Pokemon in an entirely different way.
Because, like, when you said, like, that idea of, like, Pokemon ending, I thought it was, like, going to be, like, how they're going to do it with the dinosaurs. That's, like, a big giant meter just destroy the entire world of Pokemon, I thought. But, like,
well, it is anime. It wouldn't be out of the realm.
I mean, a whole Civil War plot of Pokemon rebelling against the humans, and then, like, bam, that's how you end it. And who would win? Pokemon? Like, the humans are no more. Pokemon shall reign the world. Or humans go back, but they lost everything that got their world to begin with. It's like, jeez, way to go make Pokemon dark. It was supposed to be a kid's movie, but no.
No.
Pokemon would rout in that war. That's the only problem. It's really not much of a fight.
Hold on. No, first of all, it depends on the Pokemon, and let's not forget that the reason that trainers are able to use their Pokemon effectively is because they're able to adapt to their abilities and everything. So, for example, like, Team Rocket's a great example of this. Think of all the robots they've made, and they've made sure that Pikachu can't jolt it, because they know that if they don't protect it from electricity, Pikachu can't kill it. So, and then they have to find other creative uses to, you know, blow up the robots. It's that kind of thing. I think humans would have a better chance than you expect. Now, the psychic Pokemon would probably be the hardest parts, because
Exactly. Obviously
they can do telekinesis and all of that. But
again, and the ghost Pokemon.
Ghost Pokemon would be tough too, to an extent. But clearly they would have some advantages, but it would be more of the... I think the bigger question is, you know, how many Pokemon are in the world versus how many humans in the world. You know, the numbers advantage, I think that would be the biggest thing for them to overcome, because clearly there are more Pokemon in the world than humans. So, but seriously, like, that's dark. Like, I'm just picturing the end of the movie, and Pikachu is the one who kills Ash. He didn't say that was happening. This is what I'm picturing, going with the dark ending. you know, and he's standing on the corpse of Ash and going, Pika! And like the Pokemon are rallying, crying around him. And then you have like the you have the narrator come in and go, and it was on that day that the Pokemon refused to ever be under human rule again, and they took over the world just as they had done so long ago, as the journey ends. And like, there, end the series. That's how you end it.
He's gonna go to like, oh no, we're not gonna make a very nice cutesy happy ending. No, we're gonna give a dark, gritty, like back in the 90s gritty over the top.
Todd, you really are a Zack Snyder fan.
Dang straight. Dang straight I am. Release the Snyder Cut. I am so pumped for that. No joke. So, like, there you go. Pokemon the movie, the Snyder Cut. It's like, you thought Mew could defeat me? I am Mew too! Yeah. And then he just, like, rips Ash apart Mortal Kombat style. Fatality. Oh, gosh. But, like, again, I never heard of this much discord being going on behind the scenes of Pokemon outside of the controversial episodes like Porygon and stuff like that. But hearing this Pokemon writer talk about, like, again, he was literally hospitalized after being told that they were going to do 10 years of Pokemon. It's just like, holy crap. Like,
I mean, to know that 10 years of your life is going to be locked in a contract. Like, yeah, who wouldn't be hospitalized?
Yeah. So our thanks to you for surviving, sir. We hope that you are okay and not a bitter old Fearow. So yeah, let's just move on. This is getting really dark. Will?
Yes.
Do you have the clip?
I have it ready.
By all means.
Come to the part where we throw our heads back and laugh. Ready?
Ready.
Splatfest, baby! That's right, we're talking about the Splatfest again because it's funny to make fun of Tyler.
I hate you both. I hate you both.
Daya!
I have nothing nice to say to either of you.
Last I recall, last week during our Splatfest discussion, you were kind of like badgering me for like, and okay, like how many topics have we conflicted and debated over the many past 3 years?
I want to point out how much closer the popular vote was this time for some reason. The only thing I can attribute it to is that there's been a surge in Team Pearl loyalty because there can't be that many flip-floppers.
You never know. You never know. I was honestly surprised by how much the popular vote was. It was like, what was it, like 54 to 46, something like that?
Give or take, yeah.
Yeah.
So, and again, and then the normal fans, I don't like that. Can we just make that distinction? I don't like that they're calling it, you know, like normal versus pros. I mean, come on, that's just mean. But like the regular Splatoon users, like they won for mayonnaise, and then the pros won for ketchup. So it's my
fault I didn't join any pro battles. I was able to carry I was able to carry the regular battles. We won the category pros. I fought for. That's all I'm gonna say.
But I'm with you guys. I wish this wasn't the end of the Splatfest, at least for now. Hopefully, maybe in a month or two, they decide to do another revival. We don't need to do, you know, new ones every month. It would be great. We don't have to. But if you like, make it, you know, for a year or something, make it something we really look forward to. Because clearly everyone was into this. All right.
Yeah. Give us the Love vs. Money rematch.
Oh, yeah.
I would definitely do that again.
I will do that just so we can finally shut Tyler up. Like, give us the definitive, non-controversial, we need to change the way we score the polls thing. Like,
it was very controversial last time.
It was not controversial, Tyler. Stop.
No, you just said it was. You just was.
I'm citing you. You got so mad.
No,
you
agree. It was controversial. They changed the scoring system afterwards.
Yeah, because people like
because it was controversial. Because
no, you
because
you go off
no
and you complain.
Because there was some shady stuff going on behind the scenes. We all know it. Yeah. Everybody knows it.
No. Oh, brother. But in truth, like, we had a lot of fun. I didn't get to play it as much as I wanted to, but it was still great. It was just fun getting back into the levels and, you know, going on winning streaks. I kid you not, I lost the level by 0.1%.
Yeah.
Oh, that's heartbreaking.
I know. It's just like, I thought, and I was looking at the map, and it's like, there's no way we won. And they said we lost by 0.1%. And I had, like, you know, 5 seconds where I could have gotten us that 0.1%. And I'm just like, how could you say, oh, come on? So.
And yeah, just as a retelling, because by popular vote, it's 44.75% for mayo, while ketchup is 55.25% for ketchup.
There you go.
And the normal league, 51.71% to mayo. And for the pro league, yeah, it was only separated by 0.38% in the pro leagues, which is like, yeah, it was just a really slight margin for the pro league if they managed to capture that. So yeah, it was actually surprisingly close for that battle for the pro league.
Yeah, if it was the old school system, Mayo would have taken it. They did it into the pro league. Listen, our pros just weren't very good. I mean, they let us down. They should have been in the casual league. Aww. More of them should have recognized that they're not very good. They should listen. That's what I did. I could have gone pro, but I bit the bullet. I don't want to hold this team back. I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to hang in there, and I'm going to take care of the casual league. Boom. Mission accomplished. Just the selfishness, the lack of humility, the arrogance. It was a disaster. It really was just a disaster on Team Mayo. Very disorganized leadership.
I mean, I get like why a lot of people just go for the normal league, because like, one, you actually get to see the titles of your team, like very splash shooters or the Octolings, whatever the team names, which is always very nice to see. And unfortunately, you don't get to see that in the pro league. But for me, I just like I immediately just go straight into the pro league, based because like, one, it's pro, like only pure skills, more normies here, and like, yeah, like for me, I just like, okay, just like, settle up for the pro league, get ready, and see, like, who knows, like we'll probably get the plus 10, and yeah, I kind of wish they actually did that same frequency rate of the times 100 battles like we did with the last Latfus, because like, yeah, it's not enough times 100 if you ask me. That would be the great
play. Yeah, I didn't get any, and I did play for close to 10 hours of the Splatfest, like two different sessions of like 5 hours, and I got zero, and I only get 5 times 10 battles too.
Yeah. Tyler, in light of your you know, sour grapes and your bitterness and everything, I'm gonna tell you something that you really need to hear.
Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. It's a mean, nasty place, and I don't care how tough you are. It will beat you to your knees and keep you there permanently if you let it. You, me, or nobody's gonna get hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you get hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning's done. You didn't want it bad enough.
Yeah.
Adrian, you didn't want it bad enough. I'm a fighter, Adrian.
That's right. I quoted Rocky VI on NEP. You're welcome. So, yeah. Well, I will totally support the Love versus Money rematch. And when we beat you down again. You cannot say controversy, conspiracy, rigged, you know, our pros just weren't good enough. You can't say nothing. You will have to say,
I'm going to call it like I see it. And last time I brought about the social change, I changed the way Splatfest.
Oh my god.
So,
I brought about social change, you said. Yeah, right. Whatever you say, kid. Whatever you say. All right, well, let's move on from Tyler's madness and just proceed with things, because in light of Splatoon 2's not only return to the Splatfest, but the anniversary of Splatfest 1, oh, sorry, Splatoon 1, the original Splatoon on the Wii U, we're going to do a little bit of a look forward and talk about the more than likely inevitability of Splatoon 3. So, Will, Tyler, let's be game makers. All right, right, so how we're doing this is very, very simple. We all expect Splatoon 3 to come, especially with all the sales that it's doing on Switch. Now, when it's coming, it's probably going to be a few years, more than likely, especially since the team had to take a break, because they literally made two games right on top of each other, one for the Wii U and one for the Switch. So let's go around and let's label some of the things that we want to see in Splatoon 3 when it comes around. Tyler, let's start with you.
The number one thing is being able to play with your friends at all times.
Yes.
That's the number one thing. And, like, no reason that you can't do that now. I know when Splatoon 2 came out, there was a big discussion of, Japanese culture, it's frowned upon to question how somebody creates things. That, I know that I'm not a part of that culture. That just is infuriating to me. That even if that's the case, then let's let Nintendo of America like add that in, because it's infuriating that when you're trying to play with friends, you will get split up and you have no control over being in the same party. That is just the most aggravating thing. It's gotten to the point now where I'm trying to accumulate 8 people so that we can just go in and battle for hours on end, just because it's fun to play on the same team as your friends. It's fun to play against your friends too, but working cooperatively is just, it's so much more a thrill of victory. They need to add that into Splatoon 3.
Yeah, I agree regarding to the whole party system. Granted, because we always compare it to it, I'm beating a dead horse, but again, Sony and Xbox Live games, they always had allowed party matching and party like matchmaking systems, because if you make a party, you fight yourself against a party. I mean, it's pretty much as simple as that. Even back there in Splatoon 1, once they you're in a party of 4, okay, we gotta fight together, and no, one of our guys is on the other side. What? It's like, Nintendo, again, this is like one of the classic example of Nintendo moves. Like, what are you doing? Like, the other systems done it so perfectly, and you couldn't, even copy that. Look, I know you're trying to do your own thing, but you couldn't copy at least that. It's like, yeah, come on, Nintendo. You gotta make a party magic, a matchmaking system, because that, the way you're doing it right now is very outdated.
Yeah, it was just frustrating. Like, when me and Kromcho would play together, we would get into being like the same party of 8, but we wouldn't always get to, play together. In fact, oftentimes it seems like the game would want to set us against each other, which she was fine with because she liked killing me over and over again. But, I want to play on a team with my friends. And if I want to play with, Tyler Will over here, we just have to crapshoot it and see if we get to be on the same team or not. And I don't want that. I want to play with my friends, and even if there's only 3 of us, then the AI can find us another partner instead of us up against another team of 4. It shouldn't be that hard. It's a relatively simple thing, and there are other games that do it just fine with a lot more going on in their game worlds than a Splatoon level. So yeah, one thing I want definitely is a quicker rotation of maps.
Because, oh, good one.
Yeah, that's a Splatoon 1 beef, because it's like, hey, we have to wait every 2 hours. Make it 1 hour. Just have literally start at the top of the map, select 2 or 3 maps, depending on, what you want to do, and then the next hour, next 3 maps. Next hour, next 3 maps. Next hour, next 3 maps. And then once you're done, you go right back up to the top. That way, and then, or maybe the next day, you do a shuffle so that it's not the same, 3 maps in every pod. You make it so that's interesting, so that you never know what you're going to get in that first hour, and then you don't have to wait forever for a map that you like to potentially come up. Because how many maps are there in Splatoon?
It feels like...
There is a good amount, but you're right. You're totally right, though. During the Splatfest, I played on Mako Mart for 4 hours out of the 10 that I played. Yeah. It was in the rotation both times I was on. And, that's fine, but I totally agree. They do need to either speed up the rotation or just switch to, a voting system like Call of Duty used to have. I don't know if they still do.
Right. Like, if there's, some map system, and, of course, incorporating, a voting system, which map do you want to go? You want to go to Mako Mart? Do you want to go to Moray Towers? Of course, popularity votes will definitely win, but I feel like that would just give a sense of allowing the players to choose what they want to play. And of course, improve on frequency weights, change it up every single hour instead of every 2 hours, then I feel that would just basically be much more, keeps the games much more fresher, say at least.
And then, like, maybe even for... if you have, like, a group of friends, you can maybe select a map that you want to play on, and then when you go on to challenge another group, they pick a map, and then you rotate back and forth so that, you know, you each have a map that you want to play on while also, you know, just having fun with it. So it shouldn't be this hard. I mean, again, this is a Splatoon 1 problem. You know, we were talking about, you know, the map changes in Splatoon 1, and I can understand them not doing it for Splatoon 2 for one reason or another, but now with that, they're going to have the time to listen to the fans and say, hey, this is what you should change. Do it!
Right.
What's your first one, Will?
My first one would I probably just go straightforward is probably just regarding to the whole story of Splatoon games, because I just noticed that, yeah, the first game we basically helped with Captain Cuttlefish to go against with DJ Octavio, and then of course with Splatoon 2, due to the effect of the last Splatfest, then we had to go and save Marie from DJ Octavio, and okay, and then yeah, we gotta go fight DJ Octavio again. And this, of course, I mean, thankfully we had the outdoor expansion, we basically expanded more on a final boss thing, and now with this, the recent final Splatfest against Order versus Chaos, and of course Pearl won, unfortunately. And it's just, I kind of have a wonder, like, how many times are going to go, going to make DJ Octavio as the final boss? I mean, please, do not make it a third time around, because that just, like, okay, we get it, DJ Octavio is the bad guy, but now that we have the Octo expansion, we have Octolings playing with Inklings now, like, is there going to be a new race? Like, of course, I don't know, take on the Salmonids, the Salmons, cool. Salmon race that during in the Salmon Rush. I kind of want more of like exploration in the culture, because the first game we had Tokyo, the second game we had New York. I wonder what's going to be the third region, if they're going to make the third region, like, somewhere along, I don't know, go Pokemon, yeah, Pokemon Sword and Shield, go Galar region, go Europe of the UK. I don't know, like, that, how would that be like? I wonder, but I digress. Like, I want them to really explore into lore, because, like, we always, like, read the second scrolls in each of the single-player campaigns, like, how they evolve, of course, Judd and Little Judd, like, how they came to be, of course, Captain Cuttlefish, and DJ Octavio's back history. But now we are very familiar with Captain Cuttlefish, the agents, and of course, Callie Marie, Pearl Marina. Now I wonder who's gonna be next. Like, is there gonna be a new song duo coming up in the next game? Like, heck, I would even be happy if they did that April Fool's mock-up that was that we talked about a while back, like the whole Marina, that whole beach episode kind of deal, which that would be nice, but. Basically, expand more on the lore, because we love, like, reading the sunken scrolls. Like, what else? What else is in the Inkling or Octoling culture? Is it gonna be more of the Callie Marie? Are they gonna have like a group up? Is it gonna be like virtual idols or something of that sort? I don't know. What is more of the culture that surrounds Splatoon overall? That's what I want to know. Just really expand upon it. Like, aside from like, the dancing mini games and just like the little hut area that we always so familiar with. I want them to, like, really, really, like, I don't know, expand the HUD area. That would be probably one first start. Just, like, really know what is the daily life of, like, the Octings and Inklings after the last Splatfest.
Yeah, the personality of that world is definitely part of what makes Splatoon special. So I agree. Fleshing that out is critical. And I especially agree with the hub world. There's a lot of potential there for a cool kind of overworld. It's not the main hook of Splatoon, obviously, but I do think that would be fun.
I mean,
even like if you could traverse it by using like the splatter shot or whatever, actually, like, I don't know, climb up on buildings and stuff like that. I think that would definitely be cool.
I mean, even like we always see like the skateboard, scooters, like sports things that they always use. Like, again, keeps the whole 90s retro style sports attitude era in the two games, so I don't know, like, half, I mean, granted, we have this, the ink jumps and all that, but why, I don't know, how about have the Inkthings or Arcthings actually use these said skateboards, or, like, really expand on, like, the HUD world of, like, this is the culture, like, if they're gonna make the whole chaos versus order thing, and, like, how be in the chaotic realm of the next territory, the next location, that's what I want to know, though, no, yeah.
There's a lot, and like that would be one of my other things is to give us even more single player content. You know, I like how they use the story to kind of get you familiar with different weapons, different abilities. You know, getting used to your as an Inkling or an Octoling. But don't be afraid to go more than that, because once you're done with a single player mode, there's really not much to do other than, you know, find the secret lore, and a lot of people won't do that. But if you give us, you know, something else, it doesn't have to be like the main storyline. Like you could go even more puzzle oriented, or you know, do like a different kind of game mode that's just for single players, so that, you know, you're not always waiting on someone else, or if you don't have the best internet connection one day, you know, you can just go and challenge yourself in like maybe like a puzzle mode or something where you have to use the ink blocks and, you know, move around the level in a certain amount of time. There's a lot of Splatoon 2 really did good with its variety, especially with, like, you know, Salmon Run, which we all love to play together, and everything. So if they could do that with a single player mode, that just adds another level to what they can do to make it even better.
Right. I feel like they could definitely, like, really balance it out. I mean, sure, like, the first two games have advertised, like, the multiplayer is, this is the Nintendo's multiplayer game that, like, yeah, this will take on Call of Duty, which, in fact, it had kind of done, and everybody ate it up. Like, we love the Splatoon 1, we love Splatoon 2. And again, the single player is basically the icing on the cake. But to, like, if they can really expand on single player, as you said, like really even it out, a great multiplayer game as well as a great single player game, like what Call of Duty should be, like since Call of Duty 2, then yeah, I feel like this would be the next great killer app that Nintendo want this thing to be, like a great multiplayer, great single player, and just like a world that everybody can love is just, yeah. And heck, more banter between Callie Marie, Pearl and Marina, or Captain Together, like what they did with the live concerts in Japan, then yeah, I'll be a happy camper. And of course, introduce like the new stars of the next game.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I think Splatoon needs to focus on being a multiplayer game first and foremost. And I think that the gun mechanics are actually really good. But, to me, the most magical part of Splatoon is the movement. The movement is so fluid, and swimming through ink is so satisfying. I definitely agree that there's room for entirely new game modes that really focus more on traversing rather than more of a platforming focus than a shooter focus. And the story does kind of put a focus on that as well. And I think that they enjoy that single player content. But I do think that the focus on movement is part of what makes Splatoon so great. I'm going to go back to multiplayer for my next edition, and that's, I would like to see the addition of a big team battle. I have fond memories of playing big team battle on Halo growing up, and I think that expanding teams to 8v8 on larger maps would make things even more exciting and even more action-packed. I mean, the current levels are definitely to scale. It'd be tough to get 8 people actually out there on the same time and not feel like things are congested. But if they had larger maps for this mode, I think a big team battle would be a lot of fun. The more the merrier, but I think 8 is the right number to kind of to cap that at. It would elevate Splatoon's multiplayer options just that much more and make it that more enticing to get a big party of people together to play.
Yeah, I definitely feel like that is the next logical step for team, like, just because again, we've seen like Battlefield, Titanfall, all these other multiplayer games like go for the whole like 8v8, 16 versus 16, or even 32 players against all entire Splatoons to each other. So that would be definitely the next logical step. Like, how would it be if it actually would be like a major turf war? Like, 8v8, just like everyone going nuts. I can only imagine like how much it would really would be. But my only like worry of that is because, as you know, Nintendo's online.
True. Which,
I mean, surprisingly, again, that's the one thing I'll give props to, because again, Mario Kart 8 Deluxe and Splatoon have always maintained generally great online players. That I won't mind. That I don't mind, because they actually have hold up pretty good performance, surprisingly. But yeah, given Nintendo's track record with online, that's my only major worry. So if they can improve upon that, then I feel like they can definitely do it an AV8 at least.
So there's a lot they can do, and that's the beauty of this, is that they took what was essentially the most basic of ideas with, you know, a shooter with ink and, you know, moving around in the ink, really special, and they took that to the next level with things like Salmon Run and the Octo expansion. So now that they've got all this under their belt, they have got a lot of paths that they can take to make Splatoon 3 the best of the set by far. So really quick, any last things before we end the show?
You know what? I have a question for Will, because Will obviously enjoys all Nintendo games. We talk about Splatoon, you light up. What is it about Splatoon that stands out to you, that makes you love it so much?
Well, like, the first game, obviously, is because of the Japanese influence, because, again, I love Japan, I love the culture, and the fact they use, like, Bayonetta, Anne, and John as inspirations to make Callie and Marie, like, that was just icing on the cake, which is like, wow. And now with Pearl Marina, just make it into New York City, like, this is my hometown. It's just like the culture of the 90s. And then, of course, like, the idol culture is always also another good part of it, because, like, again, we have these fanboys, like your waifu wars, like, who you like, Callie or Marie or Pearl Marina. That thing has always been a great staple in Splatoon, which I always love. And I guess for me, what I really, really love about Splatoon, it's just, again, it's just the world it is. Like, of course, a lot of people make their own OCs, even their own personal dubbings, because, even though we always see the text, it never has been fully dubbed. And I can only imagine if they actually decide with giving Splatoon 2 a fully dubbed voicing, that is just, that's also a possibility. But hearing, like, fan dubs of the of Pearl Marina in their own interpretations, that, like, it really just is a great sense of community. Because again, back then on the Wii U, I loved the Miiverse and the comments, the artwork. You've seen these things even during the Splatfest. Like, these things have, people have talent, and they just posted artwork on Splatfest, on the Miiverse. It's just the universe. That's one thing I just kind of really just got drawn in on Splatoon. It's just like, one, the universe, the community, is how much, like, it was made from the first game. And just to see, like, YouTube channels, creators, like, artists, creations, just how much they made from these two games, and just, like, the universe. And, of course, like, Octo Expansion. And, of course, the developer, what's his name, Nagami? I think it was Nagami. And just, like, how he's just so comedic, but at the same time, he's just so down to earth and just saying thank you every single time. Even as shown off in the E3 online, the E3 tours as an official cup in Splatoon. It's just like, he's just so down to earth. And that's the reason why I love Splatoon so much. It's just like, the developer is down to earth, like with, like, I don't know, other developers like Miyamoto or Aonuma. It's just a lot of things, but it's just the fact that the community itself is what also, like, really drives me to Splatoon. And that's why I love it. And, of course, the waifus as well.
I love Splatoon as well. I mean, I'm right here, Tyler.
No, I know you do, but I Will has a special... Will's love for Splatoon is like my love for Sonic.
Wait, you love
okay,
Sonic.
Maybe they're not at that level. But I know I noticed that when we talk about Splatoon, Will, he has much more to say. You know, he gets fired up by it. So I'm interested in that.
Fair enough.
That and waifus.
No, Will, we know. All right, so with that, we are ending this episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. Tyler!
Yes, last week we asked you which condiment is better, and 75% of you said mayo.
No,
he
didn't.
25% of you said ketchup, so that was
check the falls!
Falls.
That was surprising.
Yeah, try again. Say it correctly, or don't say it at all.
Oh, fine. 75% of you said ketchup.
You're dang.
That's right. That's right.
Why did you even ask if you knew the results? That's
because I needed
rude.
To hear you admit your failure.
Mm-hmm.
See, Tyler, there is no war in Ba Sing Se. All right, the war's over, and we've won. So, Tyler, when will you learn? all right, so for this week, I want to expand our Splatoon 3 conversation to you, the viewer, or listener, whatever. So, if you could pick one thing to have in Splatoon 3, what would it be? Expanded story content / lore. Multiple new game modes, being able to play with friends anytime, faster map rotations. I'm very curious about this one.
Mm-mm.
Hopefully a certain someone can actually have the pull up within the first 12 hours of our podcast ending.
I'm typing it right now.
Uh-huh.
Mm-mm. Right. And again, that's a celebration of the 5th anniversary.
Yes.
And also, before we log off as well, I just want to put a public service reminder that this also coming weekend is the second round for Ninjala, which, yeah. So, look, check up your times. I have the article posted up on the Outer Haven website, and you're regarding to your local time zones. It's going to be 10 hours, so check your areas, what time it was going to start, and the second round Ninjala beta will start then. So, yes, Steph, if you haven't played Ninjala for the first time, which, honestly, I won't be surprised, you have another chance now, so definitely do get, if anyone's curious, definitely check out the Ninjala beta this coming weekend.
All right, and don't forget to let us know about everything else that's been going on this week. Are you excited for Crystal Chronicles coming out in August? Are you praying for The World Ends With You 2? Are you hoping that Sonic 2 has Gangster's Paradise in the trailer or something like that? Or is voiced by Weird Al Yankovic? I'm just saying. Are you getting Xenoblade Chronicles Definitive Edition when it comes out tomorrow or over the weekend? Are you hopeful that Nintendo World is fully finished and able to come to America soon? And of course, were you on the right side of justice in regards to Splatfest? for Tellius Tyler and Wario, well, I am Triforce Tyler. Ladies and gentlemen, we are out of time. We are not out of lives. We made it to the end of the level. So, raise the flag.